You know, the fear of these things coming upon the world will cause many hearts to fail because they are not the heart of Jesus Christ, right? This will put a lot of Christians, folks, at the mercy of the beast because they have no faith in Jesus. They're full of fear. And, of course, when you got fear, then the government can push you around, do whatever they want with you. You know, they can motivate you with different reasons with, you know, they control the food, they control the gas, they control everything, you know. We must abide in Jesus Christ. He is the secret place of the Most High. We've got to get out of this Egyptian economy. We've got to get under God's economy. And we've got to get ready to go into the wilderness. Okay. If we don't do this, multitudes of people are going to find themselves at the mercy of the beast. And ultimately, when the time for the mark comes, they won't feel they have a choice. And that's going to happen. As I've said so many times, 10 out of 12 tribes worship the image of the beast. And they called him Jehovah. You know, so that's where we're headed, folks. History just keeps on repeating. And because of these things, there is a massive falling away going to happen. People are going to seek for survival. And what did Jesus say about seeking to save your life? He said, you will lose it if you do. And if you sought to lose your life, you would save it. Okay. What does he mean by losing our life? Well, what he means is us giving up our life, meaning the word there, suke, soulish life, giving up our soulish life for the zoe life of God. We've got to find out what it is to walk as Jesus walked. Jesus is not in danger, you know, in these coming trials. The old man is in danger, you know, and the old man is in danger of dragging down the new man. You know, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. We've got to walk in the steps of Jesus. There is a great falling away coming. I know many of you out there who may be joining us for the first time. You say, this is not going to happen. The rapture is going to happen, and we're not going to have to worry about that. Let me read something to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen carefully. Listen really carefully. It's the Word of God. God spoke this. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, that's talking about brothers and sisters, right? Touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. Okay, so we're talking about Jesus coming for his saints. To the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word. In other words, don't accept any spirit or any word contrary to what he's going to say. Okay. Or by epistle as from us. In other words, some people may pervert the Bible into saying things that it doesn't say. Okay. As that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man deceive or beguile you in any wise, for it will not come. What will not come? The day of the Lord in which the Lord comes for his saints. He said, don't be deceived. It will not come except the falling away come first. There is no rapture before a great falling away comes first. What is going to cause God's people to fall away? Well, I think the devil's number one weapon in these times is going to be fear. Fear of the things that are coming upon the world. Fear that they won't be able to provide for their family. Fear that they won't be able to eat, won't be able to drive their car, won't be able to keep up their standard of living. And these things are obvious, but they're not a problem for God if we get into his economy. Very plainly, we've got a falling away before the Lord comes. And I want to tell you that the falling away has already started. It's going to continue on through the tribulation, and it will continue until the Lord comes. And the biggest reason is God's people aren't prepared to go through tribulation. They instead pervert this, twist this, and they say we're all going to fly away. Not going to happen, folks. Never has happened in history. The things that have been are the things that shall be. God's people never escaped a beast kingdom yet. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, never escaped one yet. Now all of a sudden they say we're going to escape. But the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Okay, and it says, don't be deceived. It is not going to happen until the falling away comes first. And these multitudes of Christians are falling away even as we speak. But even more are going to fall away in the future as this economic crunch happens, not only here, but around the world. It's going to happen. Okay. Well, what can we do? Why is it happening? And what can we do about it? Well, look at John chapter 15, which speaks of a falling away. And it tells you the reason for the falling away. Okay. John 15. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, wouldn't you say that's Christians? It has to be, right? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Who's going to take it away? No man can pluck you out of his hand. They love to quote that verse, right? But it doesn't say man's going to do this. It says God's going to do this. Jesus said his Father was going to do this. His Father is going to pluck out of his hand those that don't bear fruit. And what is bearing fruit? We've already studied that, Matthew 13. It is receiving the seed, humbly receiving the seed of the Word of God into your heart until it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay, that's what it is. That means repent when you hear the Word. Don't let any man tell you it's not that way today. If it's in the Word is God's rock. Don't change it. Okay. If you do, you're bringing yourself under a curse. Okay. So the Father taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. So those humble disciples who received gladly the word of God felt privileged to have eyes and ears to receive the word of God. They were clean by that word. If you don't let the word clean you, you will not be ready for what's coming. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can you, except you abide in me. If we do not abide in Christ, we will not bear fruit. If we do not bear fruit, the Father will pluck us up. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is what? A great falling away. People who were in Christ rejected a great falling away. Again, a falling away or an apostasy cannot happen to the world. This is talking about Christians. He goes on to say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. Well, that sounds to me like that this person is saved, protected, delivered, provided for. Doesn't it? I'll read it again. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever, whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. Now, if there's any gift we need from God in the days to come, folks, it's this one. See? This is what we need. And we have to abide in Jesus Christ. And we have to have His Word in our heart. And as I shared with you recently, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We're not offered this opportunity by most of Christendom. That's why you need to come out of most of Christendom. You're not offered this opportunity. The Bible says, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. Did you hear that? Who is he talking about? Whosoever goeth onward. Well, let me read the rest of that. 2 John, verse 8, look to yourselves, talking to Christians, that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. So he's talking about Christians falling away, Christians losing what has been provided for them by God. And verse 9, and whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. So there are people who start out with you who received a new spirit, but they don't continue on in the teaching. And there's a great falling away, like the disciples in John 6:6-6, who left Jesus and walked no longer with him because of the things he said. They fell away. 6:6-6 represents a great falling away. So, to abide in Christ is to walk as he walked. And in verse 24 of that chapter it says, if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. So we have to accept only the gospel that's written in this book that was given to us in the beginning. And if you continue on in your sins, you know, the Word of God has power to save us and to deliver us and to cause us to walk in the steps of Jesus. It is the very nature of Jesus Christ. It's His seed being manifested in our heart, in our soul. And chapter 3 and verse 6 here says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. When you abide in Christ, you're not sinning. So when you sin, there's no sin in Him. So therefore, when you sin, you're stepping out of the body of Christ. That's where the danger is. And that's where most of Christianity walks normally, is outside the body of Christ. Well, since God said these things, He must offer us the opportunity of abiding in Him, walking as He walked, and letting His seed do the work in us. Verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abides in him. He cannot sin, because he is born of God. Well, who is it that he's talking about that's born of God that doesn't sin? Well, it's your spiritual man, the one who is growing inside of you, the one who is taking over your life, the one who is conquering the promised land, the spiritual man who is conquering the promised land, taking over that land that you walk in, taking it away from the Canaanite, the old man, putting to death the old man in the land with the edge of the sword. Okay, that man doesn't sin. And do you know, folks, that's the man that's going to heaven. It's not the old man. It's not the Canaanite. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the man that's going to heaven. So we see that what John 15 says is very true. That if you abide in Him, you ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. And if you abide in Him, you bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. There's no curse on Jesus Christ. He has been delivered. He has already borne that curse away. He's already been delivered. Now, you know, I told you something a few years ago. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 to you here. It says, now these things happened unto them by way of example, speaking of the Jews. These things happen unto them by way of example. And the word example here is the word, the Greek word that means figure or type. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So everything that happened to the Jews is a type and a shadow for the church. See, that's who he's speaking to here in Corinthians. It's the Gentile church. Everything that happened to the Jews is a type and a shadow for the church. Well, then, when you read the Gospels and you see Jesus dealing with the Jews, just know that that's a type and a shadow of the man-child in the end times, dealing with the Gentile church. Now, that's God opened my eyes many years ago when he spoke that to me. He said that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to be fulfilled in the end times, in the 7 years of tribulation. It's going to happen. It's going to be fulfilled in the end times, except the cast of characters is multiplied many times over. So keep that in mind when you read this, Matthew 13 and 12. He says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given." Notice whosoever is being used there. Not just Jews, but whosoever. Because this fell primarily upon the physical Jews and later upon the spiritual Jews. You know, a Jew is one who is circumcised in heart and not one who's circumcised in flesh anymore, Paul said, right? So if you take the spiritual New Testament Jews, those who are born of God, those who are born of the New Jerusalem, not the Old Jerusalem, those who are ruled by the New David, not the Old David, the born-again David, the born-again Jerusalem, the born-again Jew, that's our kingdom in the New Testament. And all the natural kingdom of the Jews was only a type and a shadow of this. Now, verse 12 says, "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath." What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about seeing and hearing. He is talking about the gift that God has given to every one of his people, but they, in many cases, give this gift up. Okay? And verse 13 says, "Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not." So basically they have something, they've lost something here. They've lost spiritual eyesight. "And hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." You say this was true in Jesus' day about the Jews. They had lost their eyesight and lost their hearing. And but I want to tell you, it's just as true today about a lot of Christians. They've lost their eyesight. They've lost their hearing. This is a prophecy. It's a type and a shadow of what's going to happen to the church in our day. There is a great falling away coming, as we just read in 2 Thessalonians. Great falling, before the coming of the Lord, a great falling away. "Neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." Now, who does Isaiah speak to? He spoke to the people of God, did he not? He spoke to the natural Jew physically, but then he spoke to the spiritual Jew spiritually. And if you don't believe that, all we got to do is look at Romans chapter 11, and we see, for instance, in verse 11, verse 19. "Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith." Speaking to the Gentile church. You stand by faith in this olive tree, right? "Be not high-minded, but fear, for God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee." You see, folks, in this day, this is going to be fulfilled. The prophecy of Matthew quoting from Isaiah is going to be fulfilled in our day. It says so right here. "Neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and the severity of God, towards them that fell severity, but towards thee God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." He's talking about the Gentile Christians grafted in. How can they be cut off if there's unconditional eternal security? See, you bought a lie. It's just not possible. The word is too much against it, constantly against it. And this cutting off is this great falling away that we're talking about. The Father is going to pluck them up. We have a short time for God's people to come into the kingdom to begin to see that the Word of God is just that, the Word of God Almighty. He doesn't care about your religion. He is not going to bend or bow to man's religion. He demands that we repent and we change our mind and we accept what he says. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. This is going to happen at the same time. God's going to graft them in, and he's going to break off the apostate Gentiles. And that's a fulfillment of what we just got through reading over here in Matthew 13. The things that happen unto them is what? A type and a shadow for us. Okay? And so God is going to graft in a remnant of the Jews back into their own olive tree while breaking off a whole lot of apostate Christians. Okay? That's what's going to happen. Back to Matthew 13 and 14. It says, unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. See, these people don't have God. In fact, he told them frankly that you're sons of your father, the devil. Yeah. Is it true of Christians today? Yes, it's true of Christians today. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes. Have you ever talked to people and shared with them the good news and pointed out the scriptures and they didn't even want to look at them? Don't want to look at them. They've already made up their mind. They know their pastor's right, and they don't care what the scripture says. They don't want to look. They're not impressed that the scripture is actually written by God Almighty. Doesn't impress them a bit. What happened? Their ears and their eyes are closed. Lest happily they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. Hear ye then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not. Now wait a minute, who is he talking about here? He's talking about God's people. He's going to give them an offer in these coming days of truth that's going to be poured out to God's people. And yet, they're going to close their eyes and ears, and they're not going to receive it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. It's he that's been sown by the wayside. Then he goes on to talk about those that do bear fruit, you know, those that two more groups did not bear fruit, and then the one that did bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that's the way it's going to be in the end time too, folks. You know, he mentions four groups here, four types of people here. But in the end time, one of those four is going to bear fruit. And it's going to be a great revival. I'm going to tell you why. Because God's people, none of God's people, have been walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. These disciples that followed Jesus out of apostate Judaism, they were a great revival. The people that followed them, this was the great revival. At the same time, you can see that there was a great falling away. Okay? And the things that they said about them, the falling away, they would not hear and they would not see. How much the Bible says about this. What does it say, for instance, in Isaiah? You know, let's look at that. Look in Isaiah. Let's discover Isaiah chapter 6. And it says, and he said, go and tell this people, you indeed, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Now, he spoke a curse on them, didn't he? Notice, he wasn't saying what they were. He was speaking a curse on them. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Now he's speaking to Isaiah here. Make the heart of this people fat. And make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes. Lest they see with their eyes. And hear with their ears. And understand with their heart. And turn again and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? Notice this. How long? In other words, how long is this going to be this way? Right? And he answered, until cities be waste without inhabitant, and houses without man, and land become utterly waste. Well, what does that sound like? It sounds like the great and terrible day of the Lord, doesn't it? In other words, there's always going to be a people, all the way up until the great devastation and destruction of the end time, there's always going to be a people. And what we saw in Matthew 13, three out of four. There's always going to be a people who are going to choose not to see and not to hear. And, of course, they had rejected the Word of God. They had rebelled against the Word of God. They were apostates when God spoke this curse upon them. And he was telling them, basically, you're not coming back. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until cities be waste without inhabitant, and houses without man, and the land become utterly waste. And the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land. Great destruction. How long is it that people who have been called God's people will be blind and deaf? Now, many of these people, I'm quite sure, are thinking that they're going to fly away at any moment. But you see what's going to happen first? The Bible says a great falling away. A great plucking up of people who at one time were in Christ. Now, notice, they weren't in Moses. They were in Christ. What Jesus said was going to happen is the same thing that happened in his day with the Jews. Except this time he's talking about the church. The same thing. A great falling away. And it's because they won't see and they won't hear the Word of God, which is sowed in their heart in order to bring forth Jesus Christ. They won't see it and they won't hear it. A great falling away. Does this happen twice? Yeah, it happened under the former reign, and it's going to happen under the latter reign. You hear what I'm saying? Turn with me just a moment. I'm going to come back here, but turn with me just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, that have eyes and see not, and that have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? This is the whole point. Can you imagine showing people the Word, God's people, the Word of God, and them choosing rather to be a harlot with their denomination or their religion or their pastor or the whatever, you know? Fear you not me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in its season. There it is. He's talking about the people of God under the former reign and the people of God under the latter reign. Well, wow, that's 2,000 years difference almost, right? Exactly. That preserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Your sins have withholden good from you. What is happening in the world? God is withholding good to the world. He's making the world like a wilderness, as the scripture says. From among my people are found wicked men. They watch as fowlers lie in wait. They set a trap to catch men. Yeah, the fowlers in Revelation 18 that set cages to catch the foul birds, right? But what does he tell his people? Come out from among them and be ye separate, right? As a cage full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. What are the cages he's talking about? He's talking about the traps of religion all around us. Therefore, they are become great and waxed rich. They are waxed fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass in deeds of wickedness. They plead not the cause, and the cause of the fatherless, that they may prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I visit for these things, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? He's talking about his people. A wonderful and horrible thing has come to pass in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? What will people do when they've trusted in the false religions of the world? What will God's people do? So you see, it's going to happen in the former and the latter rain. It did happen in Jesus' time with the natural Jew, and it's going to happen and is happening in our time with the spiritual Jew. Because what happened to them literally was a type and a shadow for what happens to the church, right? Back to the text in Isaiah 6, it says, so just so you get the, you know that this timing is doubled, okay? And the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land, in verse 13. And if there be yet a tenth in it, it also shall in turn be eaten up as a terebinth and as an oak, whose stock remaineth when they are felled. Yeah, he's going to cut down, but there is a remnant going to come up out of the roots, right? So the holy seed is the stock thereof. It's God. He's talking about God's people here. Doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it's God's people he's speaking about here. You know? And in chapter 10 of Isaiah, verse 20, it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and they that are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. See, many of God's people have leaned upon the beast kingdoms of this world. He's talking in this text about the Assyrian beast kingdom that conquered God's people, brought them into bondage. And what he's saying is, after this has happened, they're no longer going to lean upon the world. They're no longer going to trust in the world. They're no longer going to pledge allegiance to the world. They're no longer going to trust in the world for sustenance or its methods for their life, right? In verse 21, a remnant shall return. See, that happened in Jesus' day, and it's happening in the man-child's day. A remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Wow. Now there's your revival, folks, in the midst of a great falling away, because it says a remnant. What about the rest? They didn't return. There's your revival in the midst of a great falling away. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall return. Didn't Jesus say, for many are called, but few are chosen? Did he break that rule in our instance? No. Many people call themselves Christians, but they don't walk in the steps of Jesus. They don't respect his word. And they're blind, willfully blind, and willfully ignorant, willfully not hearing what the word of God says. And of course, we in these days who love the Word of God and believe that we should submit to all the Word of God have an opportunity in these days, because of this great destruction around us, to share the gospel with these people. They're going to be motivated because of physical reasons, not spiritual reasons, because they're not spiritual. You can't motivate carnal people with spiritual things. They're going to be motivated because of physical reasons to fear God and return unto the Lord. Many of them don't know they ever left Him, but they were born in apostasy. What did He tell Israel? He said, Babylon is your mother. They were born in apostasy. You know? And so to say that they are apostate, they don't understand that. They think that they're the cream of the crop. You know, they've been trained by their religion to believe that they have arrived. Because, of course, they're in that particular religion and submitting to that pastor, and so they've arrived. And of course, they want them to feel that way, so they won't go anywhere else, right? But only a remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. A destruction is determined. Now, the destruction is what? Well, all of those people who refused to have eyes to see and ears to hear are going to be destroyed. The apostates are going to be destroyed. It's determined and it's overflowing with righteousness. In other words, God is right to do this. Many people do not believe that God would be right to chasten Christianity. In fact, the apostate leaders stand up every time there is a judgment on the world and shout the people down and say, this is the judgment of God. They shout them down, just like they did at 9-1-1. These apostates say it every time because they don't think God would be righteous to judge them. God would be righteous to do just what He did in the days of Noah. God would be totally, perfectly righteous. This destruction is overflowing with righteousness. In other words, what took God so long? Well, He's just a merciful God. He is not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering to you-ward. See who He's talking about, folks, as Christians in that verse. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about He's not wishing that any of His people perish, but they would all come to repentance. Is it going to happen? No, it's not going to happen. The Bible's God's desire is one thing, but what He's going to do is another. He's not wishing. The word is not willing in that text. It's wishing. If God was not willing for anybody to perish, nobody would perish. The word is wishing. And He is not wishing. He does not. He is not pleased with judging the wicked. And verse 23 says, for a full end, and that determined, will the Lord of hosts, the Lord, Jehovah of hosts, make in the midst of all the earth. So all the way up until the end, God's going to be bringing in His remnant, and He's going to be breaking off the multitudes who refuse to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Going to be breaking them off. And I also like Micah. Let me turn there. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth one unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. And we know that to be Jesus, right? Whose goings forth are from of old. And we know that to be Jesus too, don't we? From everlasting. That's right. Because He was the beginning, you see. He's from everlasting because He's the beginning. Okay? He's the beginning and the end. From everlasting. Therefore, will He give them up until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth. He's giving them up. In other words, He gave up the Jews, and I might say, for most of the New Testament, He's given up even the Gentiles to do their own thing, and go their own way, build their own kingdoms. But when she who travaileth is brought forth, that is the man-child, He's going to expect the same thing He expected in Jesus' day. Right? Then the residue or remnant of His brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And He shall stand and feed His flock, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord. Now, if you followed very carefully, you saw that Jesus was rejected, and he gave him up for 2,000 years until the man-child is born. Verse 3. And then a remnant's going to return. And he's going to stand and feed his flock. In his man-child, he's going to stand and feed his flock. These are the days that we're coming to right now. And when the man-child comes, he's going to say and believe and teach the same thing that Jesus taught. And he's going to be applying this, folks, to an apostate church this time instead of apostate Israel. He's going to be applying it to them. So you see, there is coming both a great falling away and a great revival. Revival meaning, of course, bringing this remnant into maturity, into discipleship, into what true Christianity is all about. So we have to repent, and we have to do it quickly, because remember the warning he gave us in Exodus chapter 12, that during the last 7 days that God's people were in Egypt, if leaven was found in their houses, they would be cut off from among the people of God. That's what he said. And leaven, of course, is everything that religion loves to add to the Word of God. So we've got to repent. And those that have refused to see and refused to hear must quickly come into the kingdom. You know, another type, leaving Egypt is one type, but entering into the wilderness is another type. And Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 tells us that the wilderness is a tribulation. So, who entered into the wilderness? The people who had repented, who had eaten the lamb, had been baptized in the sea and in the cloud, and entered at the beginning of the wilderness. They had been baptized in the sea and in the cloud, water baptism and spirit baptism. See, there has to be some repentance, folks. What we see happening right now before the tribulation starts is to get some people's attention. And believe me, it's going to happen. The people you've prayed for, the loved ones that you love and you've prayed for, your prayers are going to be fulfilled. Hold fast to the confession of your hope that it waver not. God is going to use that to bring in a people even before the tribulation starts. And again, when Jesus spoke in the first 3.5 year ministry of the man-child in his day, which was himself, he said these people had already been blinded. They had already lost their hearing even before that 3.5 year ministry. It had already happened. God had rejected them. Is it going to happen again? Certainly will. Certainly will. And believe me, folks, you won't be able to get through to some of these apostates. They refuse it now, and if they refuse it through the judgments that are going to happen between here and when the tribulation starts, they refuse to listen to God and refuse to accept the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, then many of these people are going to be reprobated. They're going to be a great falling away. They're going to persecute the saints like the Jews persecuted the Jews that came out from among them and followed Jesus. History's just going to repeat now. See, history's going to continue, and it's going to repeat. So there's a great falling away, and we need to get ready. The Lord is good. The Lord will honor your faith. And these are the days, these tremblings that the Lord, you know, God said he would shake his hand, his mighty fist, and his people would come trembling out of Egypt. See, God is able to put the fear of the Lord in a people and bring them out. And he's going to do just that. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Some of the things that are happening right now are bringing people to repentance, helping them to be very careful of how they deal with God. How many of you know that? Some of the shakings, some of the tribulations, some of the sicknesses, some of the you know, whatever, the things that are happening right now, have you noticed that a lot of people are going through great trouble right now? In fact, if you try to get them out from under it, sometimes you're not even able to do it until God's finished doing his work. God is restoring the fear of the Lord. He's causing people to be very careful.